Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate show. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here. Today on the show, we're joined by Rich Dad advisor and legal expert, Garrett Sutton. He's an old friend of the show. He's a great legal mind. He is, of course, the legal mind. I think the legal brain of Robert Kiyosaki, of course. He's the author of a number of excellent books that we've read. Like one of my favorites is The Loopholes of Real Estate Investing. He's out with a brand new book, though, which might blow them all away. It's called Veil Not Fail, Protect Your Personal Assets from Business Attacks. I love how concise that is. Garrett, welcome back to the show, my friend. Great to have you back.
Thanks, Clayton. Great to be with you again.
Yeah, so glad to have you here. So the new book, Veil Not Fail. Veil, of course, referring right to there. Corporate veil, right?
Correct.
And what is a corporate Correct. Veil, and why do we need to think, and why do we need to protect that? Or is it just like a myth? The idea of a veil is kind of a mythical thing.
No, it's a real thing. I mean, every state has cases about piercing the corporate veil. So when you set up a corporation or an LLC, you're setting it up for limited liability protection. You don't want someone suing the corporation to be able to get past the boundaries of the corporation to your personal assets. So that's the veil of protection. When you set up the entity, you have this veil, but you have these ongoing requirements to maintain the veil. And a lot of people have set up their entities online. They're not informed about this. They don't know that there are these other things you have to do to stay protected. And so we don't want the veil to be pierced. We want to follow these simple rules. But as I mentioned offline, 50% of the cases where they're trying to pierce the veil are successful. That's a huge number of people Wow. piercing the veil to get at an individual's personal assets. And the thing, Clayton, that's so, you know, it's mind-boggling. It's so easy to follow these simple rules to stay protected. But if you don't, the courts are quite willing to pierce the veil and have the person suing reach your personal assets.
Wow, that's really troubling. I didn't realize that 50%. So I think that's crazy. What's crazy about that is a lot of people have a false sense of security. Would you say that that's true? They set up maybe some basic structure and they think, oh, I'm protected. I'm good to go.
Exactly right, Clayton. You know, you'll get the package where you have the articles of organization, and maybe you don't get sent anything else. Well, you don't know that you have to have an operating agreement. You have to have minutes of the first meeting. You need to issue those membership certificates for an LLC or the stock certificates for a corporation. If the IRS ever comes calling, they want to see that you have issued those certificates. If you're in a courtroom and the other side demands to see your corporate paperwork and you don't have that put together, they're going to pierce the veil at the drop of a hat. It's just so easy for someone to get through the veil to your personal assets if you don't follow these simple formalities.
So in the book, you walk through how to protect yourself. Let's just give some basics here. So as a real estate audience, you're buying real estate, you're investing in real estate, you're not hopefully, I mean, you watch our show, so you hopefully aren't buying it in your own personal name. Maybe take me through like a few basic steps for real estate investors so that they're protected and they don't have their veil pierced.
Okay, well, let's start with you take title in your individual name, and hopefully you will take that next step of forming an LLC and transferring title into the name of the LLC. And people worry about a due on sale clause, but you haven't sold the property. You're just transferring it from you to you. So don't worry about that issue. I just have never seen a bank call the note when you transfer title from your name into the name of the LLC. Then you've set up the LLC, you've transferred title into the name of the LLC, and you think, okay, I'm good. Well, you've got to follow these formalities every year. You've got to pay the state their annual fee. You've got to have minutes every year. A lot of promoters on the internet say, with the LLC, you never have to have minutes. Well, I don't want my clients to be in front of a judge or a jury and say, well, I've never had a meeting. How do you run a business? How do you manage real estate for 12 years without ever having a meeting? You need to have those annual meeting minutes. You need to make sure corporate notices out there. When you have checks or contracts or whatever, you want it to say Clayton LLC, not just Clayton. If you put Clayton, people can think that they're doing business with you as an individual. By putting LLC there, they know they're dealing with an entity and you're providing the proper corporate notice. These are some of the issues that we cover in the book. We tell a lot of horror stories. There are plenty of horror stories about people who have their veil pierced for failing to follow these formalities. And in the second part of the book, we show you how to follow these easy formalities every year so you stay protected.
What? Just give me, because I'm curious, you know, I work in the news business, so I want to know one of these horror stories. And we all have these horror stories. I have my own. I'm just give you one of mine, and then we'll do like we're sitting
Good.
Around.
I love hearing them.
Well, like we're sitting around a campfire, and you'll tell me your horror story, and I'll tell you my horror story. So, first, I want to just pick up on something you mentioned before I get to my horror story of a friend of mine. That you're right. We have a lot of clients at Morris Invest who will buy a property. They're buying it in their own name because they're getting great financing, right? So then they can transfer it to an LLC later. So you don't have to worry about that up front, as you pointed out, as a lawyer pointing that out. You've never seen them call a due on sale clause, a bank calling that, right? So that's a myth. I think that's a good thing for people to pay attention to. I think you've talked about that in your book, Loopholes of Real Estate, right?
Right.
Yeah. So it's a very important thing to realize that you can buy it in your own name, get the great financing with the bank, and then if you want transfer it to an LLC later, that's something you can do. All right, so here's my horror story. A friend of mine knows I'm a real estate investor. This was a number of years ago. We were home for a birthday. I was visiting, and we were chatting, and he owned two rental properties, both of them in Philadelphia. And he was telling me that he had this townhouse, and one night, one of his tenants was out drinking in Philadelphia, and came stumbling back home. And out on the sidewalk in front of the building, she tripped and fell and got hurt. And it turns out the sidewalk had like just a little bit of a lip to it. You know, it's very, very small. She trips and falls and then sues the building owner, the landlord, my friend, and wins. And I said, well, I hope you had it in an LLC or some sort of a legal structure. And he said, no, I didn't. My great mistake. So they were able to come after him personally. And had they just, he would have been able to cordon that off and only been able to go after the building and the LLC. Instead, she goes after him. She sues. They end up winning. And he has to pay her a boatload of money. That's just one example. So what could he have done better?
Well, certainly having title in an LLC would have prevented them, this lady, from reaching any assets beyond the boundaries of that LLC. I mean, say he has a stock account with $10 million. The property's in his name. The stock account is in his name. She can reach the stock account. If he had set up the LLC, then she could get the equity in the property. Hopefully he has insurance, and we have to talk about that in a second. But they can't get beyond the LLC to get at his valuable stock account. So the one thing with the LLC and insurance, Clayton, is when you transfer title into that LLC, you have to let your insurance company know that title is in the name of the LLC. And some of these insurance companies will say, well, geez, that's a business entity. We have to charge you a higher premium for the insurance. Which is nonsense. The risk of a fire is the same, whether title's in your name or in the LLC name. So here's what you do. You say, okay, leave the premium in my individual name, but list my LLC as an additional insured. And that way you'll have the insurance coverage.
Wow.
But there have been cases where people have taken the insurance in their individual name, transferred title to the LLC, and then the insurance company, which has an economic incentive not to cover every claim, uses that as an excuse to deny coverage.
Wow, that's a great point. I hope people paid attention to that. Getting the policy in your own name, but then having the also insured as an LLC under this policy.
Right.
Okay, really, really important. All right, it's your turn to share a horror story. Give me an example of something and sort of a cautionary tale.
A lot of these are husband and wife horror stories. Where the husband decides that the assets are all his, he knows he's going to get divorced. And so he starts transferring assets into his own name. And then when the divorce comes, this was a case in Canada where the wife you know, there are no assets for her to reach. The husband claimed they were all his. And the courts in the U.S. and Canada will say, well, you know, when you transfer those assets out of the estate of the community, that's a fraudulent conveyance. And so the court pierced the veil of the corporation that he had stuffed all these assets into and ordered the brokerage accounts. I've never seen this before. They ordered the brokerage companies to cancel the account and give the money to the wife. Wow. So that's a pretty serious piercing of the veil.
So like a brokerage account, like a stock account, like a TD Ameritrade account. He's got all these stocks and they just call him up and say, liquidate these assets and give them to the wife.
Yep. Right. Wow. You know, whereas if he hadn't done that, if he just left things the way they were and they got divorced, maybe he has to give up half. But in this case, he lost a lot more than half. So you want to follow these corporate formalities and not engage in fraudulent conveyances, like transferring assets away from a corporation to hinder the efforts of a debtor. There's another interesting case, Clayton. In San Francisco, the Communist Party tried to sue two individual companies to get at their assets. It was kind of a Marxist takeover case. And the court said, wait, we're not going to pierce the corporate veil here. You know, we're not going to let the Communist Party bring in witnesses to say that they are entitled to these assets. So there are a number of interesting cases in this book that really illustrate the principles.
Oh, I love that sound. The sound that makes me smile. It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Now, Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving entrepreneurs like myself the resonance and the resources once reserved for big business. Now, it's customized for my needs because, and that's why I say resonance, because it really resonates with me. When I log into Shopify, it's so easy to use. And it really can help me bring my ideas to life quickly. I don't want friction. When I've got an idea and I want to start a new project, you know, entrepreneurs, we need to be able to implement quickly. And it's those little hurdles, it's the technical details that get in the way and block us from doing that. Not with Shopify. You can really launch your business very, very quickly, making your ideas real with endless possibilities. And that's what I love, really. Being able to come up with an idea. I had an idea during the pandemic for an online store. And within minutes, I was able to get set up on Shopify. And it was amazing to see those first sales start to roll in just a few days later. It was really amazing and very, very easy. I love how Shopify makes it easy for anyone to successfully run their own business. Shopify powers millions of entrepreneurs just like me, from first sale to full scale. And every 28 seconds, a small business owner makes their first sale on Shopify. You can get started today by building and customizing your online store with no coding or any design experience necessary. You can access powerful tools to help you find customers, drive sales, and manage your day-to-day. They've got 24/7 support, so you're never alone, and it grows with you. As your store grows, yep, so does Shopify. So go to shopify.com/investing, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Start selling on Shopify today. Again, go to shopify.com/investing right now. That's shopify.com/investing. Some of the things you talk about in the book, protecting your personal finances and assets from a business attack. So that first level of protection we talked about, maybe the LLC or the corporation, is there a next level? Do we talk about states, different states? For instance, we talk a lot on this show about the state of Wyoming, right? We talk about the state of Nevada, of course, as great areas for business structure. Do you give some guidance? Could you give our audience some guidance from a real estate perspective on where these LLCs and business structures should be held?
Well, and that's in my book, Loopholes of Real Estate. We go into the advantages of Nevada, Wyoming, and Delaware. The state that you choose to locate the parent company, if you will, is very important. Wyoming offers superior asset protection. They don't list your name on the state website. The annual fee is $62 a year. So it's very affordable and very protective. But you still have to follow the formalities, even though Wyoming offers all these superior protections like any other state and most countries around the world. They will pierce the veil if you don't follow these easy formalities.
One of the things, again, you talk about is preventing yourself from a business attack. So can we, I'd love to talk about that, because as a lawsuit maybe is about to happen and there's somebody who's angry and they're going to go meet with a lawyer, and you know, maybe this, you know, this bloodthirsty lawyer is looking for an option. What is the lawyer going to look at to determine whether or not he or she's going to even take on this case to their client to say, you know what, Janice, I'm sorry, but I looked at some stuff and, you know, they must have read Veil, Not Fail. They must have read Garrett Sutton's books, because I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to deal with this case because there's just too many levels of protection there. What would a lawyer look at in those initial stages?
Really good question. So the lawyer first is going to look at what insurance you have, right? They are able to collect against insurance policies. They're very good at that. They're also going to look to see if your structure includes a parent holding Wyoming LLC. They're not good at getting through the Wyoming LLC. Attorneys are on a contingency, meaning they get paid when they collect. It's very difficult for them to monitor a Wyoming LLC, to go up there, get a charging order, and pursue that. It's just not a good use of their time. So we always recommend, as the first line of defense, is insurance. The second line of defense are these entities. Now, I also recommend that my clients have a personal umbrella policy for your home and your autos. You have a policy for each of those. You can ask your insurance company, Farmers, or whoever you use for that umbrella policy. And that, like it sounds, extends over the house and the autos. And it's fairly inexpensive insurance for an extra $1 million of coverage. It's only $400 a year. And so the attorneys know how to get at the umbrella policies. If you're in a horrific car wreck, which is one of the big risks out there, you have your entities and LLCs, you have regular insurance, and then you have a personal umbrella policy for $1 or $2 or $3 million. The attorneys know how to get at the insurance money, and they tend to leave you alone on the Wyoming LLCs because it's just not a good use of their time to fight that battle.
And also, with from what I understand of Wyoming LLCs, because we've talked offline, we certainly know this, and we certainly read your coverage of this, and with our businesses, with the Wyoming LLC, to get a charging order against that state, it's one thing, it's very difficult, right, to be able to pierce that. But then the second thing is they have to renew it every year. If a lawyer actually does get a charging order against somebody, then they have to keep, if they can't get at it, they have to just keep it up. They have to keep paying to get that charging right. order renewed every year, which is expensive as well, right?
Well, it is expensive. You've got to hire counsel there. And, you know, the cases, there just aren't that many cases, Clayton, which means that this is good protection. There was a case in Oregon about 10 years ago where someone pursued an Oregon LLC. They got the charging order and they were unable to collect. And the case settled for 10 cents on the dollar. That to me is a win. I mean, that shows that the LLC did its job. But honestly, we don't see many cases against these Wyoming LLCs, because if you have the insurance that the attorneys can get at, that's enough to satisfy usually the whole matter. And the attorneys do not want to spend the time and energy going after a Wyoming LLC charging order.
What about the insurance piece of this? Is there a way, I mean, because I know that you've got the insurance and then of course they're going to make the payout, but is there a way to protect so that maybe the insurance companies don't also have to have those payouts? You know, they're coming after them. Is there a way to protect the insurance from this as well to make it more difficult?
No, I think the insurance is just exposed. I mean, you know, you're typically, let's say we have two properties, one in South Carolina and one in Utah. You'd have a South Carolina LLC, a Utah LLC, both owned by one parent, Wyoming LLC. You don't need insurance at the Wyoming LLC level. It's the, you know, that entity is not renting properties to anyone. You do need insurance at the Utah and South Carolina LLC level. And if there's a claim brought by a tenant, you immediately turn it over to your insurance company and let them try and settle or deal with it. You know, a lot of people think that they should have a land trust, and a land trust, no one can find the owner. Well, that doesn't work when you have insurance coverage. You want to know immediately if you've been sued, so you can turn the case over to your insurance company to defend you. A land trust where no one can find you, just, you know, they have to publish notice in the newspaper. They can get a default judgment easily. The idea that this secrecy is going to protect you is nonsense when it comes into the real world of having an insurance company cover you. You want to give the insurance company immediate proper notice so they can take care of the claim.
Oh, that's interesting. Great advice on that front. Maybe you can answer for us something that often comes up from our audience and the question around series LLCs. Now, this is a fairly new structure. I mean, maybe over the past, I don't know, forgive me if I'm wrong, but roughly 10 years or so, this idea of a series LLC. And so instead of having to get a Utah LLC and a South Carolina LLC, you would get a series LLC, which would sort of cover all of those. I've never personally done it. And I know early on, they had not yet been fully tested in the courts. There wasn't precedent to show that this would protect people. There wasn't enough case law, quite honestly. And that was sort of my excuse for not going with it at the time. Where are we right now with series LLCs?
That's still a good excuse. There is not any case. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
No, okay. The series LLC is a new entity. There was one case down in Alabama, which didn't allow series LLCs, and they had used a Delaware series LLC, and it just confused the judges. And, you know, it just, the judges were unable to wrap their head around the idea of this series LLC with separate buckets of protection. There are no cases on it. No one knows what happens in a bankruptcy. You know, if one series goes bankrupt, does that collapse the whole structure? No one knows. And so I don't want to put my clients in an entity that just doesn't have any case law on it. So until, you know, all 50 states are using them and they're settled, we just set up individual LLCs for each entity. I mean, for each property.
Great advice. Garrett, I'll get you out of here on this sort of 2023 question about the, you know, as we're entering 2023 and the politics and the craziness that we're seeing in the United States right now, which is around this expansion of the IRS, 87,000 new IRS agents about to hit the streets. They'll be armed as well, armed training. We know that it's going to affect mostly middle-class Americans, lower middle-class Americans, poor Americans more than anybody else who just don't have the resources and the tools to fight these IRS agents in that way. Just from a high level and maybe even a detailed level, where, you know, these legal protections, is it now more important than ever to have these in place? And where do you see things going for your clients? Do you get these phone calls from your clients? I'm just thinking sort of at a macroeconomic level, geopolitical level, what are you hearing and fielding right now?
Well, there are two things to discuss, Clayton. One is that the IRS is going to follow the model of the California Franchise Tax Board. And, you know, the governments are the 800-pound gorilla, and your entity does not offer you much protection against the government. The Franchise Tax Board has taken a position that, you know, they're going to charge you, you know, a penalty, a fee or whatever of, you know, $2,000 to $3,000. And people never fight it because it's going to cost you more than that to get an attorney to fight it. Now, some people do fight back against the FTB and they always win in court. But the FTB, you know, they're collecting the salaries and pensions for all the workers in California. And they have this model where they will inflict a penalty just at the threshold where you'll pay it to be done with it. And I think that's what you're going to see with the IRS coming. Now, the other big thing, Clayton, that no one's talking about is the Corporate Transparency Act, which they passed in 2020. And they're supposed to implement a system whereby every LLC and corporation has to identify who a 20% owner is, or maybe it's 25, and with their address, a copy of their passport or driver's license, and other personal information. And that has to be filed with the U.S. Treasury Department every year. And it is going to be an onerous filing for everybody. Just imagine having to file that information once a year for every LLC you have. No one's talking about this. I mean, in the elections, you should be asking your people running for Congress, are you going to get rid of the Corporate Transparency Act? This is going to be a huge burden on every LLC and corporation owner in the country. So there are some heavy things coming down the pike, and I think people have to start getting angry.
Yeah, very, very heavy-handed. I mean, when you have, you know, people, you know, Elizabeth Warren on the Senate Finance Committee, Senate Banking Committee, Bernie Sanders, you really have an onerous bureaucracy just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's going to hurt, you know, it's going to hurt the little guy, to your point.
Exactly.
You know, they don't have the money to go hire a $5,000 retainer for a lawyer, you know, and to cover a $2,000 fee that they would otherwise win if they could go to court, but they can't afford it. So they're just going to eat it. And it's just...
Right. And the IRS and the FTB know that. They know exactly where your pain threshold is, and that's what they're going to charge you.
Really sad stuff, but that's exactly right. Call up your representatives and ask them, are they going to support this, and tell them why they shouldn't if they're not familiar with it, for crying out loud. Go ahead.
Yeah, the Corporate Transparency Act, they're not going to release the final regulations until after the midterm elections, because this is just going to be another reason for people to be angry at Congress and the government. But when these regulations come out and we have to file these reports in 2023, there's going to be a lot of angry citizens about this, you know, and it's to combat money laundering. Well, the banks and the IRS and the FBI, they can combat money laundering. It's not that big of an issue to have all of us send in these forms every year. That's not the answer to money laundering. So here's the new book, Veil Not Fail. And, you know, we've had some printing issues, supply chain issues, but it will be out. It's out in audiobook and Kindle, and the print edition will be out very soon.
Yeah, great. Grab it on Amazon. Grab the Kindle edition. If you can't get the print edition right now, grab the audiobook, listen to it while you're driving, and then grab the Kindle edition so you can take notes on it as well. Yeah, they keep updating the Kindle app, so it has all sorts of great bells and whistles for highlights now. So I know we take so many highlights, and then you can tap on your Kindle app and you can see all of the highlights that you have, and you can put it in a notebook and print it out. And so it's really, really good in that way. Yes, go check out the brand new book. It's out now from Garrett Sutton. It's called Veil Not Fail, Protecting Your Personal Assets from Business Attacks. We love having Garrett on the show. Always so enlightening and illuminating.
Clayton, if I can mention one thing, we offer a free 15-minute consultation with an incorporating specialist if you need to clean up your entity or start a new one. So you can go to corporatedirect.com and schedule a free 15-minute consult to see if we can assist you.
Perfect. We'll have a link to that in the description below. We've been certainly big fans of your team at Corporate Direct for many, many years at our company, Morris Invest. So absolutely, we'll have a link to that. Make sure everyone goes and checks it out. And if you need any help with your entity structure, make sure you hire Garrett's team. They're fantastic. And go pick up the brand new book. Garrett, it's great seeing you again, my friend. Don't be a stranger. We'll have you back on real soon. Thank you so much for joining us.
That sounds great, Clayton. Good luck with all of your efforts, too. It's great what you do for education.
Well, thank you so much. And thanks to all of you for subscribing and being a part of our great community here. Our goal is to make you a more intelligent real estate investor, a more intelligent investor, and just to be aware of what's going on with these changing laws and these corrupt government politicians out there. So go pick up the brand new book from Garrett Sutton, and we will see you next time, everyone.